Good morning, and welcome to Good Shepherd Anglican Church on Treaty 6 territory in Edmonton, Alberta, on the last Sunday after the Epiphany. If you're visiting today, we're very happy that you're here. Today, we join the Anglican Diocese of Edmonton, together with our siblings in the Church of England and in many Anglican provinces around the world, in celebrating Racial Justice Sunday. Please take a moment now in silence to bring your heart into a space of worship. Our service will begin in a moment at the sound of a bell.
This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Oh, come, let us worship. I invite you to join in singing our opening hymn, Alleluia, we sing your praises.
Alleluia, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Alleluia, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. We sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Alleluia, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Blessed. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. We sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Strong in faith, we all know. Strong in faith, we all know. Hail to all the joyful gospel. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. Hallelujah, we sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. We sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness. We sing your praises. All our hearts are filled with gladness.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid.
You guys are in check.
That we may fervently love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We'll sing together the Gloria.
Glory to God in the highest. Praise to His people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, mighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We pray you for your glory.
Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Temple of God. You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you are righteous and love justice. Stir the hearts of your people that rejoicing in our diversity, we may repent of the wrongs of the past and by your grace, seek the peaceable kingdom of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite Georgiana to come and read for us. Please be seated.
Our reading is from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When David's time to die drew near, When David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do, and whatever you turn, and wherever you turn. Then the Lord will establish his word that he spoke concerning me. If your ears take heed to their way to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail you a successor on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether, whom he murdered, relating in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals on his feet. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. Deal loyally, however, with the sons of the Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty, they met me when I fled from your brother Absalom. There is also with you Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a terrible curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to the death with a sword. Therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you must bring his gray hair down with the blood to Sheol. Then David slept with his ancestors.
I think that's good. That's good? Okay.
The word of the Lord.
Psalm appointed for today is a portion of Psalm 50. I invite you to join in praying the bolded words. The Lord, the God of gods, has spoken.
He has called the sun to his head.
Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty. Our God will come and will not keep silence. He calls the heavens and the earth from above. Gather before me my loyal followers. Let the heavens declare the righteousness of his cause. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I invite Anthony to come forward and read from Corinthians.
A reading from second book of Corinthians, chapter 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
And singing our gospel hymn, Over My Head.
I see trouble in the air. I hear music in the air, my head. I hear music in the air, my head. I hear music in the air, speak a God somewhere. I hear singing in the air, over my head. There must be a God somewhere. I see glory in the air, in my head. I see glory in the air, in my head. I see glory in the air. There must be a God to comfort me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them as his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we humbly come before you to ask for your favor and blessing on the sermon today. May you bless this message with your wisdom and knowledge. May you help us to take your word and apply it to our lives. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin my sermon today, I want to say a few words about racial justice this Sunday. And I quote from the diocesan website, "Racial Justice Sunday is one way the Anglican Church and the Edmonton Diocese can publicly express Christ's call for us as Christians to love, care, and serve each other without creating barriers of color, ethnicity, culture, and colonialism." I continue with another quote. "The gospel calls all Christians continually to confront the idolatry of racism and the evils of our world, and to proclaim justice and mercy as we seek to walk with our God," Micah chapter 6. "Our worship unites us to Christ, transforms us in word and sacrament, and sends us out into the world to uphold the dignity of all in Christ." Have you ever been in a group of people where someone told a joke and everyone else laughed except you? "I don't get it. I missed the point." Or have you ever been in the middle of a discussion where another person makes a persuasive point and everyone nods their heads in agreement except you? "I don't get it. I missed the point." That's sometimes how it is with life. Sometimes we miss the point of it. Sometimes life doesn't make any sense. We experience disappointment, or our days seem filled with meaningless activity, or we are faced with crises upon crises. Sometimes we just can't figure it out. We miss the point. Like when we miss the point of a joke, we feel as if we have been missing out on the fun of it all. What's the sense of it all? The same can happen to faith. We can sometimes feel like there is no joy in being a follower of Jesus because we can't make sense of what it's all about. We miss the point of what discipleship is all about. Today's gospel story of the transfiguration of Jesus is about a similar experience. Jesus took Peter, James, and John on the top of a mountain, evidently to give them a special revelation of who he really was. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in his glory. They were the privileged three who shared in so many extraordinary experiences with the Lord. They were there when Jesus brought Jairus' little girl back to life again. They were there also with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus asked them to pray with him. They were there on the mountain when Jesus was in his glory. Peter was beside himself because of the moment. He didn't know what to say, but he said what he felt. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Perhaps it was to confirm the confession that Peter had made for the other disciples just a week earlier when he confessed that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and Savior. Perhaps it was to give the disciples, Peter, James, and John, a genuine moment, a transparent happening that reveals, that will clarify that Christ above all people has pleased God and above all others, speaks for God. It is this glimpse that will sustain their discipleship into the future. They will continue to cry out in a world not eager to listen. Perhaps it was to prepare them for the events of his suffering and death which lay ahead. Whatever his reason, Peter and his friends completely missed the point of it, which, by the way, is a theme that runs throughout Mark's entire gospel. Jesus would teach or heal or tell parables, but his disciples would not understand the meaning or purpose of them. Find it strange that Jesus' messiahship was not understood by those closest to him. Back to the top of that mountain. If we are not steeped in Jewish tradition, we really can't understand how dramatic that mountaintop experience was for those three men. Moses and Elijah were two of the great heroes of the Jewish faith. Perhaps Jesus' messianic office is highlighted when the two messianic forerunners, Moses and Elijah, appear with them, as in when God speaks and the witnesses to the reality of Jesus as Son of God. But Peter missed the point. Lord, this is really great. This is quite a show. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Jesus was giving them a once-in-a-lifetime revelation, but Peter wanted to make it permanent. He wanted to put up three tents so that he could keep the show going. But he missed the point that this was a special experience that was not intended to be repeated. We're not much different 2,000 years later. We build tents out of tradition so that we can contain Jesus and the heroes of faith, and then sit back and enjoy the show. Jesus didn't respond to Peter's idea, and he doesn't respond to our attempts to build tents either. That's because he knew that even greater things were going to happen that would reveal the magnificence of God's glory. That's where Moses and Elijah fit into the story. Each of these heroes had an experience of the magnificence of God's glory that became important to the whole community of faith. Moses' experience took place on a mountaintop, Mount Sinai, where God gave him the Ten Commandments. On that mountain, the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled, and the whole mountain was covered with the fiery glory of God. And when Moses came down from the mountain, his face glowed brightly because he had been in the direct presence of the glory of God. Elijah the prophet had been discouraged because he thought he was the only one in Israel still worshiping the true God. And so God sent him up on a mountain where God had arranged a contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Prophets of Baal set up their altars and sacrifices and prayed to Baal to come down and burn up their offerings. But nothing happened. At day's end, Elijah set up his altar and even doused it with water. As he prayed, God revealed his glory by sending fire from heaven, which burned up the offering, the stone altar, the water, and even the ground on which it stood. Jesus was setting the stage for the greatest revelation of God's glory, a revelation that was not to human beings, but through a human being. This is my beloved Son. God had come directly into the midst of life, not through a law given to Moses or through words uttered by a prophet, but through a living human being, but God in the flesh, God among us, God right here. When the disciples tried to contain it, the vision disappeared, and Jesus led them down from the mountain toward the greatest vision of God's glory yet to come, a cross and an empty tomb. There's the true glory of God, but there must be a mistake somewhere. Glory is supposed to be glorious. Glory is supposed to be spectacular. Glory is supposed to be magnificent. The cross and tomb are none of these. Rather, they are the marks of a suffering servant who gave his life as a ransom for humankind. Let me make a long story short. It wasn't until Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit that Peter and the disciples finally got the point. But when they did, the purpose of their lives took on a new dimension. They started doing the things that Jesus did when he was with them, healing, teaching, forgiving. They even did some of the miracles that he had done. But most important, they became witnesses to this glory of God that had been with them in Jesus. They began telling others about this glorious God whose forgiving love had been made real for them in Jesus Christ, who died and then was raised from death. That's the purpose of Mark's gospel. The followers of Jesus have been given the task of telling others the good news about this glory of God. The task of faith is to tell others. And it is the Holy Spirit that moves us to do that. The Spirit is given in baptism and nourished through Scripture and the sacraments. The Spirit calls us to reflect God's glory in our lives. I think I know what you're thinking. I don't always feel like that. I'm not always loving and forgiving and kind like Jesus. Sometimes with doubts and fears and questions. I have failings and shortcomings and sins. Don't be discouraged. We have the same answer for failure and guilt and doubt that the disciples had. Jesus Christ, God's answer to it all. Jesus is not only our example, he is also the power that makes us able to follow him. Remember that Jesus Christ has something more in store for us. He calls us down from the glory. He invites us to take up the cross. When we take up our cross, Jesus says to us, "It is well that you are here." Jesus sees us working in the valleys for a better world. Jesus sees us giving of our lives for our neighbors. Jesus sees us bearing witness to his resurrection triumph. Jesus sees the service we offer in the ordinary flow of daily life. He sees us as we strive and live lives for racial justice and to seek the dignity of all. It is well that you are here, Jesus says to us. It is well that you are here. In summary, our gospel reading this morning is wrapped in mystery and intrigue. Jesus' appearance becomes radiant. Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet, appeared to be talking with Jesus. In this single moment, the mighty acts of God that brought Israel out of slavery, the gift of the law, and the ethical charisma of the prophets were all collected and transformed in the person and mission of Jesus, the Messiah. How appropriate that it should be the gospel lesson for today. We have come to the end of Epiphany, and we are on the threshold of Lent with the observation of Ash Wednesday this week, which leads us into the Passion of Jesus. May our lives be transformed as we follow Jesus from Epiphany through Lent to Jesus' glorious resurrection. May we always, at all times, strive for racial justice, as in Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.
Reverend Jordan introduced today that across our diocese and throughout the world in the Anglican Communion that we do commit ourselves by word and action to pursue justice and peace for all people, people of all races. And I believe that starts in our own hearts, that we make a decision to look and to see, to examine our hearts and our own prejudices that we carry, things that we maybe were taught when we were children, and that we expand our view and that we look out and commit ourselves to this acts of racial justice around. So now in our service, we have an opportunity. I invite you to stand if you wish or remain seated to pray. If you would like to participate in these words of affirmation and commitment. Dear people of God, we stand in the shadow of the prophets crying out for justice and peace. God calls us to be a people of reconciliation, serving a world in need. Courageous men and women have taken the risk of standing up and speaking out for the least and the lowest. This work involves risking ourselves for the sake of God's love and moving beyond ourselves in order to seek and serve Christ and one another. We are all called to the work and ministry of social justice and reconciliation. Will you persevere in prayer and fellowship? Will you proclaim the good news of reconciliation in both word and deed? Will you acknowledge and address the prejudices that keep you loving all God's children? Will you strive to see Christ in all persons and value those with whom you disagree? Will you seek to mend what is broken by human sin and greed? Will you strive to speak words that liberate and heal and break the bonds of silence? Will you seek the perfect love which casts out all fear? Will you work toward dismantling the sin of abuse and power? May Almighty God empower us to continue his work of reconciliation. Give us the courage to overcome fears and embody love. Give us grace to grow in self-awareness and personal integrity, and strengthen us to seek the unity that is in Christ that we may rejoice with all God's children as disciples of God's Son. Amen. I invite Val to come forward and offer prayers on behalf of all of us.
Let us pray. We pray for all victims of racial hatred and discrimination, and we seek your protection for those affected in our churches, our schools, our places of work, and our communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves. May we be voices against oppression and channels of the transforming power of the gospel. Open our hearts to all who suffer in our midst, but out of sight. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us to work for a world where human beings are valued, where no one is enslaved, and no one used against their will for another's pleasure or need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that we may know the power of reconciliation. Wherever there is division between us and others, because of our race or ethnicity, we pray that we may all be led to reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
We pray for all who work to bring communities together in ways that are just and equal for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We have willfully misused your gifts of creation, Lord. Be merciful. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. Yes. We have condoned evil and dishonesty and failed to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. We have heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. We have not loved you with all our heart, nor our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. Yes. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And friends, may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with each other a sign of God's peace.
This mic on, can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me on this microphone? Okay. Fantastic. Well, good morning, everybody. And welcome again to Good Shepherd. If you're visiting today, we're happy that you're here. Please do introduce yourself in the chat if you're visiting online, or you are totally welcome to stay and introduce yourself to us at coffee hour if you're here in person. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries to be blessed today? Nobody's getting older this week? Okay. Oh, Imelda, is it your birthday? Oh, it was your birthday in January when you were in Sudan. Okay, we'll pray for you for sure. Anybody else? Okay. Well, offer that blessing after the announcements, Imelda. As you have heard today, we are celebrating Racial Justice Sunday. Together with parishes across the diocese and throughout the Anglican Communion, we commit by word and action to pursue justice and peace for people of all races. I would like to begin my announcements today by thanking Reverend Tom for that wonderful sermon on the Transfiguration and the power and glory of God, which leads to the cross, and to apologize to Georgiana. We marked 1 Kings 2, not 2 Kings 2, which was the correct reading, which was on the screen. If you haven't had a chance to read it when Rob was going through it on the screen, I commend it to you. It's a beautiful passage. Friends, if you are feeling called to continue the work of pursuing racial justice, join us this afternoon at the Boyle Street YMCA downtown for Faith Spaces, Safe Spaces. This event will feature prayers, a panel featuring our friend and neighbor Preet, small group discussions, a musical performance, Zimbabwean food, vendors from both African and Indigenous traditions, and it will conclude with a round dance. We seek to gather with people of many faith traditions to the work of racial justice and creating a place of safety for all worshipers. This event is free and open to the public, and it starts at 1 o'clock, but you can wander in a little bit late if that's okay. Today, as Reverend Tom mentioned, it's the last Sunday after the Epiphany, which means that next week is Lent. I know it's very early this year. Finish our Epiphany celebrations with us on Tuesday evening with a pancake supper, the Rams, real Anglican men meeting socially. We'll make yummy pancakes and sausage. Natalie will have activities for kids. We will clear our cupboards of all the fatty and delicious foods to prepare for the Lenten fast. The pancake supper is available for a donation. So if you're hungry and you need a free meal, I hope that you'll join us. But it is also a fundraiser for the Rams and their many wonderful ministry opportunities that they support. So if you can give generously, please do. This is the Pancake Supper. Tuesday night starts at 5 p.m. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. Holy Eucharist with imposition of ashes will be held at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. If for no other reason, I invite you to come and hear me try to tie together Valentine's Day with the news that we are dust and to dust we shall return. Can she do it, folks? In all seriousness, no, I do invite you to the observance of a Holy Lent. If you are new to a tradition that uses the liturgical calendar, or you're a newly baptized Christian, come and ask one of the clergy for ways to make this Lent meaningful as we prepare for Jesus's journey to the cross. Maybe you give something up for Lent for the first time in a long time. Maybe you take something on, like saying morning prayer every day, maybe on Mondays and Fridays with Reverend Tom and Mark on the online crew. Maybe you give up drinking coffee, stopping at Tim Hortons every morning, and then you donate the money you save to the pantry or to some other worthy cause. Maybe you make individual sacramental confession this year. In the Anglican tradition, this kind of confession is not mandatory. Nobody has to do it. You'll see that we don't have a confessional booth in here. But you are invited under the sacred, unbreakably secret seal of the confessional to confess your sins to a priest and receive assurance of God's forgiveness. As both a penitent and a confessor, I find this rite deeply, deeply meaningful. And so I encourage you to find a time this Lent to meet with me, with Reverend Tom or Reverend Joanne, to receive the gift of the assurance of God's forgiveness for you, no matter what. Finally, I want to note, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent, and we will begin with the Great Litany in procession. That means incense will be used at this service. For all other announcements, I do commend them to your attention. Please do check your weekly roundup. Now let's bless Imelda and pray for her. O God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on your servant as she begins another year. Grant that she may grow in wisdom and grace, and teach her to trust in your goodness all the days of her life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
All right, our service continues with the offertory. Please join in singing our offertory hymn, Blessed Assurance.
The water. Let us pray. Holy God, receive all we offer you this day and bring us to that radiant glory which we see in the transfigured face of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the God, our Creator.
Right, offer thanks and praise.
Eternal God, source of all being, we give you thanks and praise for your faithful love. You call us into friendship with you and one another to be your holy people, a sign of your presence in the world. When those we trust betray us, unfailingly you remain with us. When we injure others, you confront us in your love and call us to the paths of righteousness. You stand with the weak and those broken and alone, whom you have always welcomed home, making the first last and the last first. Therefore, we raise our voices with angels and archangels, forever praising you and singing.
All of our and mine, heaven and earth, all of our glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They all in the Lord, God of our and mine. Heaven and earth of your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth of your glory above, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, O Holy One. When Hagar was driven into the wilderness, you followed her and gave her hope. When Joseph was sold into bondage, you turned malice to your people's good. When you called Israel out of slavery, you brought them through the wilderness into the promised land. When your people were taken into exile, you wept with them by the river of Babylon and carried them home. Restore us, O God, let your face shine. At the right time, you sent your anointed one to stand with the poor, the outcast, and the oppressed. Jesus touched lepers and the sick and healed them. He accepted water from a woman of Samaria and offered her the water of new life. Christ knew the desolation of the cross and opened the way for all humanity into the redemption of your reconciling love. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus, at supper with his friends, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Loving and Holy One, recalling Christ's death and resurrection, we offer these gifts, longing for the bread of tomorrow and the wine of the age to come. Therefore, we proclaim our hope. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Pour out your spirit on these gifts, that through them you may sustain us in our hunger for your peace. We hold before you all those lives who are marked by suffering, our sisters and brothers. When we are broken and cast aside, embrace us in your love. Restore us, O God. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O source of all life, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As our Savior taught us, we are bold to pray as we sing together.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, give us this day just as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the devil, from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever.
Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat, whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread. So may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth
into your kingdom.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Are you gonna take a kid?
Yeah.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Thank you. One of the beautiful ministries of this parish is that we go out after the service to bring the communion to members who aren't able to be in the building. And so today Mark is going to go out and visit somebody and take them some bread and wine. So we'll send you with a blessing, Mark. In the name of this congregation, we send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers of his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change, save. We ask this in his name. Amen. And glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation.
In the church and in Christ Jesus,
forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Let's join our voices together one more time for our closing hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's what? Every praise. I'm sure it will be just as good.
Every praise to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise to our God. Every praise to our God. Hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. God my deliverer, yes he is, God my Savior, God my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Praise is my God. Every word I worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise. Every praise,
go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.